I love the Bible and I love the way things are worded in verses. And in Titus chapter 2, in verses 11 and 12, notice an instruction that's given to us in verse 12. We'll read verse 11 to pick up the context. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The topic of this little message tonight is very simple. How should we live? Because right there in verse 12, we should live. And then he tells you how. Three things that Paul gives us about how we should live. So Paul says we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, the reason that we need to be instructed on how we should live in this present world is that we and the world are very different now. We've been saved. Our home is in heaven. Sang the song tonight about the pearly gates. Sang the song tonight about Beulah Land. And if your perspective of the world before you got saved was, I like this place and all the things that are in it, no doubt your perspective of the world changed at some point after you got saved. And you realized, like the Bible says, that this present world is evil. According to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, the present world is evil. There's corruption in it, there's sin in it, there's death in it, there's sickness in it, there's disease in it. You know, there are a lot of things, there's sorrow in it, there's suffering in it, there are a lot of things that we're not going to experience in the world where we're going. So this present evil world has not only those bad things that I just mentioned there, but it also has some allurements in it that can affect your walk with the Lord. A perfect example of that is just a page over from where you are right now. You're in Titus. If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, you're going to notice something in verse 10. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul had a fellow laborer, according to Philemon 24, named Demas. And Demas is mentioned in the greetings at the end of Colossians chapter 4. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "For Demas hath forsaken me," 2 Timothy 4:10, "having loved this which world," this present world, "and is departed unto Thessalonica." So this present world not only has that death and sickness and sin and pain and sorrow and suffering and all those other things that we have experienced, but it also has certain other kinds of things in it that draw on you and affect your relationship with the Lord. Here's Demas, a fellow laborer of Paul, and you know Paul was already at a level of service to the Lord where people that were fellow laborers with him were serving God at a very high or elite type of level of service. For him to forsake Paul because he loved this present world, there's something in this world that really pulled him away from that level of service. And that's the thing we have to be careful about. That's the thing that we have to take instruction from the Bible to keep from having an effect on us. So how should we live? We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What does it mean to live soberly? Well, it means don't get drunk. Well, it means more than that. I'm not worried about y'all going out and getting drunk. But it does mean more than that. Basically, to live soberly, I mean, these words all have very special, certain meaning. Soberly is to be not under ungodly influences. All right, well, alcohol would be an ungodly influence. It certainly would cause you to not be sober. Drugs, we recognize that. But how about this? Worldly pleasures. Worldly pleasures can have an ungodly influence on you. We know that. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And those can draw away your affection for the Lord. All right. Some other ungodly influences. Riches. The love of money is the root of all evil. Lusts. That's what causes the word that's been sown in among the thorns to be unfruitful. The lust of other things entering in. Here's one. Ambitions. Whenever I have an opportunity to talk with young preachers, and I do from time to time, I'll let them know that if they're in their 30s, some of them in the late 20s, some early 40s, there is something inside called ambition that will get in the way of what God's trying to do in your life. It just does. Because when you're young and you want to do something for the Lord, and I was young and I wanted to do something for the Lord, I didn't realize that some of what I was really applying some energy to was of my own thinking and ambition and not of the Lord's will. And it got in the way. Pride. Emotions can be ungodly influences. Not long ago, I preached a message to you on your loins girt about with truth. And the reason that we have to have our loins girt about with truth, that's where the emotions are. They can pull you right off the center of the road and into a ditch. And truth is the thing that keeps you back in the center of the road. The desire for recognition is a perfect ungodly influence that can affect somebody's ability to walk with the Lord or serve the Lord. All right, and there are, and I could go on, et cetera, I'll say here, just to give you an idea that some of these things that I mentioned to you, you wouldn't really categorize under the label of sin, but they are influences that will affect your sobriety. Because every one of these I mentioned can control you. And a sober person is not controlled by things like the desire for recognition or ambition or lust or worldly pleasure. There's a soberness that says, I recognize what that is. I recognize that that's in me, but I am not going to let that be the thing that motivates me to do what I'm doing. I'm not going to be influenced by it. I'm not going to be controlled by it. So the first part of Titus 2:12, the passage we're looking at, look at it again, starts with a denial before it tells you how to live. Titus chapter 2 verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live. So there is already a tendency toward ungodliness. That's the way we were before we got saved. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for his enemies. Christ died for the ungodly. That's the way we were. So there is already a tendency to ungodliness. There's already a tendency to worldly lust. Paul talked about him walking according to those worldly lusts and us walking to the according to the course of this world, following our own lust of the flesh and of the mind. And he says, you got to deny those things. You got to say to yourself, I am not going to be influenced to do what I'm getting ready to do by those things that are in me. You know what? That soberness then involves self-denial. Like Jesus Christ taught his disciples. He said, you want to follow me? Deny yourself, take up your cross. Right? So that soberness, it's a recognition that I'm going to be influenced by something, but I'm not going to be influenced by those things that control me that are ungodly influences. That's sober. Sober living. All right, so we should live soberly. And then he says we should live righteously. We should live righteously. Well, a person who lives righteously, this is fairly obvious, is guided by righteousness. If you're living your life righteously, one of your principal concerns, I mean, you have several, but one of your principal concerns is doing right. In other words, as you think about something you're getting ready to do, one question you will ask yourself when you're living righteously is this the right thing to do? I mean, you know what I've learned about myself, and I've learned about other people when I've had the opportunity to talk with them? Most people know what the right thing to do is. That's not the problem. They know what the right thing is. That's not the problem. The problem is they just don't want to do the right thing. That's where the problem is. I told you years ago, I was preaching on the street. Not at this time. I mean, when you're preaching on the street, you take turns because your voice is only going to last so long when you're hollering. The guy that was, I'm not going to tell you the name of the guy. I don't think you'd know who it is, but just in case. The guy that was preaching to the crowd of inebriated people standing out in front of a bar waiting for a table who had just come from the Alabama-Auburn football game, said to the crowd, among other things, "No hope in the Pope. The Pope is a dope." And one guy in starched blue jeans and a starched white button-down Oxford cloth shirt with a straw cowboy hat and a girlfriend, and another guy dressed the same way, and his girlfriend decided he didn't like that. And he turned and he started across the street, and there I am with a guy that had just come back from Hawaii in flip-flops and something that looked like a Hawaiian aloha shirt. And the guy wants to fight. The traditional thing that you do in that circumstance is you shield the attacker. Now everybody's watching because they know there's going to be a fight, right? So everybody's watching, so the preacher's supposed to continue and you shield to see if you can keep the thing from turning into a fight. And I'm pretty good at that. So the guy comes across the street, and I don't like what he said. I said, "I'm so sorry that you don't like that. Honestly, I didn't even like the way he said that either, to be frank with you." But what he's trying to tell you is that Jesus Christ is how you get to heaven. We can't even count on somebody like the Pope. And he's like, "Oh." Oh. And the next thing you know, we're chatting about the whole thing and I'm giving him the gospel and he puts $5 in my pocket. And I told him, I said, "We didn't come here to raise money. We're sitting here just preaching the gospel. You're going to wake up in the morning after what you've got in you wears off, and you're going to be really mad you gave a preacher $5 on the street here." So I gave it back to him, but I gave it back to him with the chick track. And he's like, I don't want that. I said, "No, you really do, because in the morning when you wake up, you're going to want to know what it was that compelled you to come across the street and talk to us." Well, before it was all over, he gave me a hug. And he starts back across the street when Dodo Head says, "No hope in the Pope. The Pope is a dope." I'm going to turn around and kill him this time, because Yosemite Sam is taking no for an answer. He spins on his heel. That barrel chest comes out. And this time his hands are already in fist and he is coming right for us again. And I'm thinking, you know what? If he doesn't kill me, I'm going to kill you. And right behind him is the other guy in the starched white shirt with the blue jeans and boots and hat. And he's 6'4". And this friend of mine is wearing flip-flops and an aloha shirt. You know, it's a bad scene. And right when Yosemite Sam, and I'm saying Yosemite Sam because he is making a lot of noise, hits the curb and he's now 3 steps from me, the big guy grabs him around the chest and lifts him up off the ground and turns and goes back toward the bar. And I'm like, "What just happened?" And he said, "Our table is ready." Thank God. Now listen, he's halfway across the street when he turns and looks back over his shoulder and he says this, "You know what his problem is?" And I said, "No." He said, "His problem is, he knows he needs what you're talking about. He just don't want it." Everybody knows the right thing to do. They just don't want to do it. Even Christians. And Paul said, we should live righteously. You know, people who are not living righteously are okay with doing wrong. And I'm afraid there are a lot of Christians today who are okay with doing wrong. I mean, you know it's not right, but God hadn't killed you for it, and your family doesn't seem to mind, nobody at church knows about it. So why not, right? But people living righteously, listen, want to do right. Yosemite Sam didn't want the gospel. But when you're living righteously, you want to do right. It is important to you that you do right. And it's important to you when you do wrong that you clear that up with God, because you don't want things between you and God that aren't right. That's how you live when you're living righteously. People living righteously yield to the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's in you. He gave you His righteousness. And He wants that righteousness to permeate your being and change your life. So when He says you should live soberly, He's telling you there are some ungodly influences in this world, and you are cutting yourself off from those. And when you're living righteously, that's the positive side that says, if I can't do that anymore, I'm going to start doing this, and this is what God wants me to do. Righteously. And it's very, when you're living righteously, it's very important to you that you know you're doing the right thing. It's joy to the just to do judgment, the Bible says. Okay? We should live soberly. And listen, if you're not living righteously right now, I don't know that, but if you're not, you should be. You should want to do right. And then he says this, we should live soberly. Now we know what that is. We should live righteously. Kind of knew what that was anyway. And we should live godly in this present world. Godly. Well, a person who lives godly is under the power and influence of God. In other words, if he's not under the influence of the things in the world, then what is he? He's under the influence of the things of God. Now, I need to make this clear, and I'm sure you already understand this, but he's not religious. I mean, Baptists can be religious. Yeah. You say, well, what's the Baptist religion? I don't drink, I don't smoke. Yeah, right? I don't chew, and I don't run with the people who do. That's a kind of a religion thing. Catholics have a religion. Everybody's got a religion. So you can live this life as a religion. Hey, people that are living godly are not religious. Religious people have the Bible. Well, let me show you what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's right back there, just a page from where you are probably. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's what religious people do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. This is religious people having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You see that? I care nothing about having a form of godliness that doesn't have any power in it. I had that already before I got saved. So it's not that. Religious people have a form of godliness they deny the power of. This living godly is something that's powerful. It's life-changing. Godly people have the power of God in them. You're saved, you've got the power of God in you, and when you live godly, that power that's resident in there is working in your life. So Paul said things like this, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see that? Sober, not under the influence of alcohol. Godly, under the power of God, but be filled with the Spirit. That's God. And I love the way Paul said this, because get this out of your life, make a choice to do right, and put this into your life. Godliness. A godly person is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. A drunk person is under the influence of alcohol, driving under the influence. And a godly person is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He's led by the Spirit. Something else is controlling him or her. And a godly person, not only that, but is also under the influence of God's words. When you read the Bible talks to you. And it talks to you when the present world is pulling on you and God brings back to your memory something that you heard in a Sunday school lesson, something you heard in a sermon, something you heard in a podcast or whatever, something you heard in your own Bible reading. God brings that back to your mind. It's like, oh yeah. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you through the words of God and bringing you into this right way of living so that the world's influences don't draw you away from God and where God wants you to go. So it's a very simple, this is beautiful, simple little, explanation of three things that God said through Paul to Titus on how you and I should live. We should live, first of all, soberly, not pulled by the influences of things like emotions and pride and worldly pleasures and so forth. Righteously, where it's a major concern to us that we are doing right and yielded to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and godly, where the power of God's Holy Spirit and the power of God's words are influencing us to continue to move toward God. That's a beautiful little passage right there. So I hope it's done you some good today to hear it, store it, live by it. Really, until Jesus comes, the next verse says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Just keep living that way till Jesus gets here. Amen. Father, thank you so much for a really clear, beautiful, succinct instruction on how we should live. Help us to do it, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.